On today's show, the guys are talking with Carl Rictanis with Learn Platform. We've got the East Initiative update and more. That's up next on EduTech Guys.
EduTech Guys Radio, radio.edutechguys.com.
The opinions expressed on the site and its programs are those of participants and not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any specific educational entity, sponsor, company, state, or government agency.
Hello and welcome to this episode of EduTech Guys Radio. I'm David Henderson.
Hey, and I'm Jeff Madlock.
Awesome. And we are in the throes, the thick of it, the middle of school getting back in the swing of things.
Yeah, first week.
First week of school.
It's a horror movie title.
Teachers already counting down the 100 days.
Yeah. You go to teachers like Pinterest pages and it's already got the countdown.
Yes.
This many days till Christmas. This many days till summer.
I actually have a friend on Facebook that's exactly what she does. Every day she posts it'll be like a street sign or a house number or whatever, but it's always the countdown of how many days till the end of the year.
You know what's weird is, do you love your job? I mean,
right. I mean, you know,
if you hate your job so much, you got to post every day and remind yourself just 12 more days till Christmas. I mean, you know,
right.
Yeah. But, you know, I get it. It's I don't think most people understand what it's like to be a classroom teacher.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, the pressures and the daily of dealing with your kids. No.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All you listening out there who aren't teachers, your kids. It's your kids.
Well, you know, and think about that. You're entertaining. It's a daily soap opera that lasts 8 hours that you have to entertain those kids.
Absolutely.
And teach them. And, you know, keep them entertained. Keep them excited. Keep them invigorated. Keep them,
keep
going.
Keep them fed and keep them safe and keep them.
Yeah. Empower them. You know,
New word, empower them.
That's right. We use 9-volt batteries. We find it works best. No.
That's right.
Wait, did you use that word correct, Jeff? I used power.
It was power. That's right.
But no, you know, it's right. It's that first week is always, but the first week is fun because, you know, to me as a kid, I remember now, that was back in the 70s, you know, when I was in grade school.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get to crack that box of crayons open the first time, the smell of new crayons, the smell of crayons in the morning, you know, it was just, but, you know, you got to finally sharpen the pencils and, you know, got to use your pencil box. You know, think about that. No one does that stuff anymore.
Oh, but yeah.
You remember by Christmas, your pencil box looked like it had, you know, stormed the beaches of Normandy. Yeah. By the end of the year, it looked like it, you know. Well, what happened to this pencil box? Well, we launched it to the moon, and it came back, and Braintree was heckling.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. It's really funny now that you brought that, you know, the whole looking back kind of thing. I mean, I can distinctly remember, and I don't know how it is. You know, these days it's different at different districts, but when I was a kid, we didn't actually change classes that I remembered until we got to like eighth grade, maybe, or maybe seventh grade, probably seventh grade for where I went to school. And I mean, I can remember even now, just thinking back, I remember that first day, and the only room I really knew was homeroom.
Yeah.
And even then, that was, you know, that was after a couple of days of trying to memorize. Okay, I go here, just get in the building, and I go straight here down this hall, and it's the third door on the left, and I'm going in, and, you know, Miss Smith or whatever her name was. And you go in and you sit, and then they're like, okay, well, now homeroom is over. Now you're going to go to first period, and that's going to be room, you know, 227. Where's 227?
Right,
where am I going? What do I got to do? And
you know, that anxiety still exists. It still does. The
sure.
Same anxiety exists, except now it's like, okay, I can't be that person that has the Instagram or Snapchat picture of me, you know, going in the wrong classroom.
Right, yes.
Hey, look at this. Look at this one. He came in. I got a Snapchat video of Jeff coming in the wrong room. Oh, look, he's crying. He's crying. Yeah, yeah. I would be the one crying.
So. I'm so glad we did not have the access to everything in life that is posted everywhere.
Yeah.
I really feel for kids today. And heck, for that matter, the teachers and administrators and everybody else, but especially I feel for the kids today. I mean, because like you said, I mean, you do something stupid, it's posted everywhere. We did stupid stuff, and we looked around and went, nobody saw that, right? Okay, we're good.
There were kids. So it might last the week. But
right.
Past the week, nobody would remember. Most likely it didn't last 24 hours. But you know, lunchtime was, okay, wear the right clothes, don't drop your tray, sit at the right table.
Yes.
You know, now it's like, you know, oh, do I have the right headphones on? Did I, you know?
Yes, yes.
Did I take, look, Jeff taking a picture of his, you know, his ravioli. Wrong picture, dude, you know? Anyway, We could go on and on about the good old days.
We can.
But, hey, we hope you're having a great time out there. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.edutechguys.com. You can also catch us. Heck, just go to Google. You heard me say it once. If you listen to the podcast, please listen to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, you heard me say it once. I've said it a million times. Just go out to Google, type in Edutech Guys, and you're going to find us.
That's right. Well, we have to remind folks, and there are some folks that this is the first time you're listening, and we hope it's not the last.
Please don't let it be the last. Hey, listen, we're going to stop, drop, and listen to a quick commercial, and we'll be right back after
this.
You're
listening to EduTechGuys.com. Don't just listen to us. Bring us into your district today for cool, exciting professional development. We'll teach you and your students how to take podcasting to the next level and use it to reach your classroom and to reach the world. Reach out to us on Twitter at EduTechGuys or head over to EduTechGuys.com. Scroll down on the page and fill out the form and we'll be in touch. Bring EduTechGuys to your school.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're really glad to be here today and we're really glad to have this guest on this episode. And I'm going to turn it over to him and let him tell us who he is and where he's from and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, David. My name's Carl Rectanis. I am the co-founder and CEO of Learn. We created Learn Platform. I'm a former teacher and administrator, but Learn is my fourth successful education innovation organization focused on how we can help teachers and students personalize learning at scale.
Wow, man, you're fourth. That is awesome, man. Yeah,
that's really cool.
you're a little busy.
There's a few others in the trash can, too, that we just don't talk about. But.
Well, don't they say every failure is one step forward to a success?
So that's right.
That's awesome.
That's what learning is all about. Absolutely.
So I'm very curious about I like to hear about the stories from folks as to how you went from classroom teacher and administrator to launching, at this point, multiple companies.
That's a great question. My family are mostly educators. So I grew up amongst my mother's a middle school teacher. She just retired after 35 years. Aunts and uncles who were administrators. I was a teaching fellow in North Carolina and taught here and overseas. But I actually left the classroom because it started very early that I figured out that what was going on in central office and the back office had a huge impact on what was happening in my classroom.
Oh, yeah.
And how that impacted classrooms. And so early on, I had opportunities to move in and ended up being a CFO for schools. It also became clear to me that if we could help resources move more efficiently, if we could make the back office run more smoothly, it could help our teachers and our administrators focus on, the really hard work and where they're experts and driving learning for all of our students, as opposed to all the other stuff that we know that educators are, constantly overwhelmed with.
Sure.
And that having had a little bit of success there, ended up realizing if we fast forward, Learn is really designed to help alleviate some of the challenges that I had when I was a CFO. As I was supporting schools and districts and states and foundations, in one of my previous organizations, consulting on things like, Common Core and aligned assessments, and how do we set up policies and processes that allow us to actually take advantage of technology-enabled learning, it became clear that there was really very little data. There were great anecdotes. We had, I'm sure people call up Jeff and David and say, hey, what do you think of X?
Right.
Or what have you heard about that? And, in many ways, it's one of the great things you guys do is share those experiences and that expertise and your network of, through the website, et cetera. But what if we could harness that expertise of teachers that are piloting and using these tools? What if we could automate some of the processes like, procurement or even just managing those tools? So that it actually saved teachers time, but gave us more information so that we could actually figure out what was working for which students. Yeah. And that has driven me and driven our team over the last 4 years.
Man.
So cool. Let's talk about then that leads right into, so what does Learn Platform do? What makes it work? What why would I need it in my district?
Yeah, so most folks are overwhelmed by the number of tools out there. And I tell you what, I'll ask you a question. Our team has analyzed this and found, you want to guess how many ed tech tools are accessed by schools and districts with more than 1,000 students every month? How many tools do you think they're accessing every month?
Oh, I can tell you, for my district, just the ones that we, the district mandates, we'll say 30.
Yeah.
We'll say 30.
Okay.
And then the ones that teachers pick on their own. So hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can't keep up with them. That's the kicker.
Exactly. Right. So I will tell you that on average during the 17-18 school year, the school districts with more than 1,000 students on average access 548 ed tech tools every month.
Oh, their teachers and students. And that doesn't even surprise me.
Well,
right. But I mean, that's more than 30. Right. And mm-hmm. So if you think about, what does that mean for student data privacy? What does that mean for, let alone what's best for which students, mm-hmm. right? And what's driving it. So Learn Platform is an ed tech management and rapid cycle evaluation system. It is designed to help educators and their organizations organize, streamline, and then rapidly analyze the impacts of those tools so that they can make better instructional decisions, which is what we all want to do. Better operational decisions, which of these should we keep or get rid of, or maybe we could collapse. And then better budget decisions, because of course, we can share some other data, but the reality is those resources could be spent more effectively for better learning and for other opportunities if we know what's working.
Yeah. So you mentioned something that I want to touch on. For some of the folks that may not be keen on the particular definition of rapid cycle evaluation, so A, what is that? And B, what is it? How does what Learn is doing help with that?
Yeah. Well, when we started 4 or 5 years ago, we would show people what the system did and they wouldn't believe us. Because, and we would show it to them with their data, and they'd say, I don't believe that's possible. So rapid cycle evaluation is, if you think about third party evaluation, so we've all heard, in education, we all know that we want, when we started, it was randomized control trials, mm-hmm. right? This idea that's the gold standard. It even gets called the gold standard. But the reality is randomized control trials take, 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. They are quite expensive. They are out of date by the time that they are printed.
Right.
Because the product that you are actually analyzing has gone through 4 different iterations. They're at V4.2 and you got data from 3 years ago, mm-hmm. right? Rapid cycle evaluation is a method that is the equivalent of a third party evaluation. Where using data from products like usage data, as well as student achievement data, like assessment data, or whatever your achievement is, the ability to analyze that information the same way a third-party evaluation would, but instead of taking months or years to do, it takes seconds.
Wow.
And that rapid cycle evaluation, so Learn Platform has the most robust technology. We call it IMPACT. IMPACT stands for Integrated Metrics Producing Analytics on Classroom Technology. So IMPACT analysis actually takes that usage data from product companies like the math interventions or curricular tools or courseware or other tools to to understand how much students are using tools. And then what's the measure? You're agnostic to what your achievement metric is, right? So let's say you're with that math intervention, you're hoping to increase benchmark assessment grades, or student proficiency is measured by the end of grade test. Well, our system analyzes that in a matter of minutes and provides visualizations so that an administrator who doesn't have to have a PhD, doesn't have to have a whole, you know, back office of statisticians and third-party evaluators with significant indirect costs and federal grants, et cetera, can input or integrate that data. And the system helps them understand things like how much, you know, are we using the licenses we're paying for? Mm-hmm. And when we use them, is it helping students learn? In which situations is it having the best effect? So I'm talking about that generically, but let me give you an example
sure.
of how I get excited about this as a former educator, because I could never get this when I was, you know, in central office or in the school building. We had a great, we work with a couple thousand districts around the country, 100,000 educators. One of our districts, this is just one example. Over the holiday break between first and second semester last year, they decided to analyze their math intervention. And he ran the analysis. What I love about this, educators never turn off, right? He was on holiday break, and he's right. running analysis. And he comes back and he realizes that they're having an outsized positive effect on for their English language learners in math. What they're doing is helping English language learners significantly better. They're not having those results for all students. Some of the highest achieving students weren't getting those types of effects or insights. When they came back from first semester, talked with his team, talked with the instructional team, they changed the way they were doing their math intervention, their implementation. Yeah. They expanded it for English language learners. Mm-hmm. They looked at shifting some of their professional learning for their teachers who were working with different populations. And what I love about that is they were making, that's first to second semester. This isn't like a broad report on like kids who look like this. This was these kids.
Yeah.
You know, and so rapid cycle evaluation is an ability to be able to have that data quickly enough to inform decisions, whether those are instructional or operational or budget.
Yeah. I love that they were able to, like, it was over holiday break. Who wants to work over holiday break? But I love that they were able to take that information and frankly, that they did take that information and actually do something with it. You know, a lot of times we get data and we see the data and, well, that's all well and good. We'll take this under advisement until next year and then we'll see what happens. You know, we'll implement this over the summer so that when you come back, no, they didn't even wait for that. They were like, oh, heck no, this is working for this. Let's roll with it.
Right.
That's exactly right. And that's a mentality that I think we love seeing, you know, when decisions get made. And the difference for us is I mentioned earlier, if you want to understand what you're using that works, you first have to understand what you're using.
Yeah.
And that's where Learn Platform sort of sets the standard. Is Learn Platform is first and foremost an ed tech management system. So they've already organized, and so they know how many tools they're using. They know how often it's being organized. Their teachers know what's approved and not approved, how to easily request, you know, tools that they saw at ISTE last week that they want to try, or share their experience with products that they pilot. That's happening, and that information is captured. But because those things are streamlined, they can actually also implement, you know, changes and shifts in the hard work, which is where the professional learning or the instructional practices and the other things. So by streamlining that management, it actually creates better data on which to do that rapid cycle evaluation. But it also, you know, makes it actually viable to use that information and say, you know what, it's not hard for us to make this shift because we've got a platform on which to drive it.
Well, and it seems to me, you know, especially with your CFO background, that districts could also take that information and go, holy cow, we've been dumping all this money into this particular program or whatever it is. And at this point, it doesn't seem to be making a hill of beans difference, you know, or perhaps it's even, you know, affecting things
in the negative. And so we either need to focus on why that's happening. Well, we probably need to do that anyway, but figure out why it's not effective and turn it around so that it is effective. Or we need to stop jumping $250,000 a year into this program that nobody's using.
That's exactly right. Right. I mean, as a CFO, the hard part was like, it would take me, you know, I would have to look at last year's data to think about next year's kids,
right,
you know, to inform that decision. And, you know, you and I both know that, you know, budget discussions start in December. They start really ramping up in January and February. We barely finished the first semester.
Right. Right.
Thinking about that. And if you come to somebody, you know, God forbid you come June 15th, you know, before the end of a June 30 budget, July 1, you know, that deal has been done.
Yeah. Wow.
And while I don't, you know, to be clear, we're agnostic. We don't know that we know it. We are plumbing to help people make these decisions. But if you have the information, it's up to you to be able to make that decision. And if you can have it early enough, the opportunity to say, look, let's do what's best for kids or our operations, or shift how we're driving implementation, or get some more PD in here to make sure that we're expanding. Or maybe we only need 3,000 licenses, not 15,000 to start, and let's make that right. You know, there's all sorts of modalities in this market that can be improved if you just have the visibility to what's actually happening quickly enough to make informed those decisions.
Well, sure. And that's the big thing right there, is because just like you said, we start the talk in December. Everything happens in the spring, but so much comes out in the summer. With the way the world works in the last year, think of where we've gone in 4 years in technology. That changes in weeks. And so rapid evaluation gives us the ability to go, wait. You know, what was going down in May is not happening in July. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're going to waste money here. That makes me wonder. So when a district comes on board, the onboarding process has got to be just streamlined. It's got to be quick. I mean, since this is a quick piece, then adopting it must not take any time at all.
It's quite simple. In fact, we you've heard of forming, storming, norming, and performing, right? The team model that we know, team efficiency, and we teach in our project-based learning when we do team-based stuff, you know, you're going to go through this process.
Right.
It turns out that what we found, and we have our team is all research-based, and we have a resource center that we make this stuff available on our site, but we have something called a personalized learning at scale framework. And it's very similar, because almost every organization goes through that same, you know, first they start trying ed tech. And you remember these days when, you know, the district wasn't really paying attention, but, you know, Jeff and David are testing some stuff out and they're doing a few things, and, you know, it's not a big deal. But soon you get into that second phase, which we call the hacking phase, you know, that storming phase that is really, you know, everybody's trying to do different things. And they're trying to do what's best for students, but it's all over the place.
Right.
Districts will tell you it feels like the Wild West. This is the thing that we hear the most. Like, how would you describe? Oh, it's the Wild West. Like, everybody's doing all sorts of stuff. And then they start to optimize and start to and then finally personalize at scale. Well, to do that, when you're at that hacking phase, we know exactly the three steps you should take to organize first. And then once you're organized, you're going to be ready to streamline. Yeah. And then once you're streamlined, you're going to be ready to analyze in a meaningful way, the way that district did in Utah that I mentioned. So, you know, onboarding is super easy. In fact, we have a personalized learning at scale self-assessment for any district administrator. It takes about 10 minutes. They get a digitized report of where they are and what their next steps are. And then that's essentially our team helps them, if they're ready to implement, to start getting, usually about a lot of the market is at that hacking phase, right? We can be candid about 70% of the market is, you know, trying to get control of that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the first step.
Right.
In a couple weeks, you've got a place where all your teachers know how to see what's available. You've got all your contracts centrally. You're not going to lose information. You're able to vet for student data privacy and other things. then you can start to streamline and analyze as you see fit. And we see people go off to the races from there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what are the benefits for, let's say, the free and paid resources? Because I know you guys have a Chrome extension that's a free Chrome extension. Really cool.
We do.
For teachers. And but what are the benefits for the teachers and administrators and the outcomes they can see from just using the free one before they make that next step to the paid resources?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So our product library is free for all teachers and individual administrators. So it's the largest product library in the country, over 5,000 EdTech tools. Our head of research is a guy named Dr. Daniel Stanhope. He and I led research that identified the 8 most important criteria for teachers when they try, buy, and use these tools. So what that means is it feels like a research-based trip advisor for EdTech.
Okay. Right.
But instead of seeing, you know, where 85% of all the resources are 4.2 stars and above, mm-hmm. what you're going to see is basically a report card given by verified educators in those 8 areas: ease of use, content, alignment with learning objectives, features, etc. So you can access that anytime. And one of the other things that you mentioned that is fantastic, I think, is the Chrome extension. This can be turned on by an individual, or any Google administrator can turn it on for free for all their teachers. And it means that anytime any teacher goes to any of those 5,000 EdTech tools, their website. So if you go visit Khan Academy or Dreambox or any of the mm-hmm. Tools that you see at the ISTE,
Flipgrid, Buncee, all those guys. Yeah.
Right. You go, it'll light up. And if you choose to, you can click on it. You'll see the grade for that product. You can ask other teachers a question. You can add it to your library. You can share your experience right from the browser. Mm-hmm. So it's designed to save teachers time and information, and so they can focus. And that same, when an administrator as a district chooses to turn that on, they can turn it on for all teachers. It also actually creates a free inventory for the administrator to get a high-level view of which tools are being accessed across their district. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, as you, exactly. Wow. Like, I want to know what we're using. Like, I can now see in real time what was used over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And that's often something that we hear from districts, like, oh, yeah, we did a survey and we asked a bunch of people and we know we, now this, you can deploy in 5 minutes and gives you the details that you need and you want. And teachers, you know, get a time saving tool all at the same time.
Yeah, that's really awesome,
man.
Let's talk about this. How do people get access to the free and paid resources? What's the best way for them to get to it?
Yeah. So the best way is to go to learnplatform.com.
Okay.
Is the easiest way. When you get to that system, you'll see, when you get to the site, obviously, you can take a look at some of the solutions. But we do have a resource center there.
Okay.
And, at learnplatform.com/resources, you can see things like that personalized learning at scale, self-assessment. You can see, EdTech trends, like, I shared with you the number of products that are being used, but the infographics, the rubric that teachers can use, all of those things are free. And when you're in the system, if you choose to upgrade, we'd be glad to walk you through. But that self-assessment is where I would recommend most administrators start on the site.
Cool.
That's awesome. So I do want to throw this out real quick, though.
Okay.
So we talked about all the free stuff, and that's all well and good. So how there's a paid site, which is how you're making your money. That's how you're staying in business. So what are they getting for that? I mean, what's the paid? If I'm a district administrator and I'm looking at this, I'm like, well, I get all this for free. Why do I need to pay you guys?
You know, I'm really glad you asked, because one of the things that's really important to us is creating something that is empowering and equips schools and districts to save money and to get better outcomes for students. So one thing it is not, we do not drive revenue from advertising, from, you know, we're not trying to sell more products or sell your data to anybody. Our subscriptions are at a district or a school level. They range from $100 to $399 per school per month. And they allow So our district professional allows a district to set up a white labeled system, get control of all of its ed tech tools, create a site for all of its teachers to see and share their experience inside the organization. And then there are modules by which you can do things like manage your student data privacy alignment with all these products, or run your RFPs and RFIs, the procurement, to increase your purchasing power, or of course run impact analyses to help inform those decisions. So that's all driven and designed to help schools and districts save money and increase outcomes and improve outcomes. So it's really important to us that we're transparent about our business model and what that looks like.
Sure.
And we know that when, you know, full disclosure, when people start to get organized, now that you know what you're using, you're going to ask like, okay, well, where is it working best? Mm-hmm. And we're well positioned to help you do that, but you have to be ready to get there. And, our team and our experts, want to help that happen.
Awesome.
That's really awesome.
Man, that's really
also
cool.
Our listeners can check you guys out on Twitter, Learn Trials, at Learn Trials. Facebook, are you guys on the old Facebook?
We are on Facebook under Learn Platform. I should mention too, because we are talking about new things that changed this summer.
Yeah.
You know, ISTE, and I heard the reports from the floor at ISTE from both of you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. ISTE actually just announced something called EdTech Advisor.
Right.
You probably would have seen it. It's a way for their members to share their experience totally free with all those products. That is powered by Learn Platform.
That's our system. You know what? I remember that now. I remember that. Thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a bunch of different ways. You know, we're just trying to be efficient plumbing to help educators, administrators, and their partners have the data they need to make those decisions. We're really excited about that collaboration, but that's another way to get connected.
That's awesome.
That's very cool.
So we want to thank you for coming on the show. It's really great to meet you, and we need to get back together after, you know, maybe middle of the year, see what's going on for you guys, because I'm sure you've got some other stuff coming out. It sounds like you guys are constantly moving forward and modifying.
Well, this is something that all of our development is driven by educators. So as you know, during the summertime, we do get a lot of feedback. One thing I'll mention is that we have been launching, we released something called EdTech Trends around breadth and depth of use and things like that. And we do have an upcoming set of EdTech Trends that we'll announce before Labor Day. So we'll get those over to you. You guys can feel free to share.
Heck yeah.
But certainly another one of the resources that people can find on the site too.
That's awesome.
Awesome, man.
Well, Carl, thank you for coming on the show, and we'll be in touch with you soon.
I had a blast. Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Hi there. I'm Jerry Prince with East with this week's East Update. This weekly update is not just to share the great things East students are doing, but to also give you some insight into the power of projects when infused in education. This week's update gets a little deeper into the power of real projects with the help of Mason. Mason is a senior at Maumelle High School in his fourth year of East. He first talks about the opportunities and perspectives that projects can provide.
I feel like East has really shaped some interest and kind of broken away those false images of career paths that we all think of just a basic doctor or somebody working as a teacher, but broaden my scope and my view of potential jobs that are out there where I can make my own job through what I'm learning in the East classroom and what I'm learning with other clients and other people, and just the connections I'm making at this age opens up that opportunity to create new jobs and to explore new opportunities.
In East, students can pick a project or technology without committing their entire life to that single direction. Mason takes a look at how tinkering can truly expand one's horizon.
And I feel East is just given an opportunity to expand my knowledge in such a profound way with the learning of new technologies that I don't even use predominantly in my life, but just a subtle inclusion of that problem-solving skill or that communication skill that I've learned through working with others through East.
And working in uncharted waters is just part of the experience.
And when you find that thing, don't give up towards the beginning, because that is the hardest part when you first have a project, because you don't know what your outline is going to be. You can't see the end goal in line. I mean, it's like a race. You got to go around turns and you never actually see the finish line till it's right there. But those are the hardest times where you got to just keep going around and keep pushing with the project so you can see the result you want.
Special thanks this week to Mason and the students from Maumelle High School for their continued great work for their school and community. And by the way, we are in the recruiting season for those interested in an East program. If you're interested, drop us a line and let's talk. You can find contact information more at eastinitiative.org or just search for East Initiative on social media. Our student composer today is Neil with Infinite Overdrive. Neil, I gotta tell you, I've been looking for Mario ever since I first heard your work. With the East Update, I'm Jerry Prince. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thank you so much to Jerry Prince and all of the folks over at East Initiative for providing the update. And a special thanks to Carl Rectanis for sharing the information, sharing the updates, giving us the background on Learn Platform.
Yeah, really cool stuff. You know, it is time that we start to assess our assessment, you know, find out what software we're using and how we're using it. And then those guys, wow, his folks are really knocking the ball out of the park right there. And they're the ones running the, you know, like he said, back in for the new ISTP. So that's really kind of awesome.
Very cool. And, you know, one of the other neat kind of side conversations is after we had this interview, we actually, Jeff and I actually met with administrators for Jeff's school district, and we actually talked about some of those things that we learned from Carl.
Yeah. Hours, in fact. We were here for a good 6 hours talking about that. So really good stuff. Hey, listen, I hope you have a great start of the school year. Don't forget to color. You know, nobody colors anymore.
Just color.
Break out the crayons.
I see your true colors.
Well,
please listen to the podcast.
Shining through.
Hey, listen, it's been a great show. I'm Jeff Madlock.
I'm David Henderson.
We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to EduTech Guys Radio, radio.edutechguys.com.
The opinions expressed on this site and its programs are those of participants and not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any specific educational entity, sponsor, company, state, or government agency.